opening up the digital phone lines for listeners' questions and comments.
Hi, Chris. Mark, listening to you in lovely northern Idaho. I'm curious what your thoughts are on bullion as a tax haven. Obviously, it's working out well for me so far, but I'm curious what your overall thoughts of, you know, from your perspective would be. I sold a lot of stocks last year, and I just got clobbered in taxes. And I have a lot of bullion, but I'm always thinking about that from both an inheritance tax point of view, you know, selling, what kind of things should we be aware of, and what should we be watching out for when they want to come and get it. So, love the show. Thank you. Bye.
Mark from Northern Idaho paid Uncle Sam some big fees after selling his stocks and U.S. shares. He's curious if he'll face similar issues with his gold investments. Well, hi, Mark. You know, obviously, I'm a bit biased towards the yellow metal. I can really make a case for the precious metals and their tax benefits. My best advice is always diversification. I mean, few if any professionals really beat a diversified, balanced market on a regular basis. And I'm also not an advocate of owning any single asset class unless you are a professional full-time investor. And even then, I would say I think there's an important proviso, and that is diversification among even professional investments and professionals is ideal. If you read Jack Swagger's books, I think his latest was on hedge fund managers. He interviews really the world's best investors of all time. Every one of his books I have in my library, and I highly recommend everything he's written. Many of the top pros that you listen to in the hedge fund industry trade against their big positions, meaning that if they're going to trade, they're going to have a large position going in the other direction. You know, their risk is minimized, or they will trade against a big portfolio, diversified portfolio. So just like putting your safety belt in your car, you know, it may be boring. It could save you. On to tax implications. I like to think of the tax implications on your precious metals as the premium on an auto or home renter's insurance, because those costly premium payments are similar to a tax, although not always compulsory in every case. So imagine paying your mortgage for, let's say, 20 years. Then due to economic conditions or whatnot, you lapse on the home insurance and the house burns down. 20 years are wiped away from equity saved, lost, gone. Well, similarly, gold and silver are that insurance policy. So I think any tax implications are irrelevant. You don't think twice about paying a small monthly homeowner's insurance fee, and very few homes burn down. But when it does, it's must have. You need it. Accidents happen. It happens to the best of folks, and having that insurance is there. I suggest, again, if you're not a professional, putting aside no more than 1% of your wealth for that activity and putting the rest in rock solid bullion in a portfolio of diversified assets, ideally under the management of a professional. Now, let me give an example and some ideas here. If you haven't already run into Dr. Nicholas Nassim Taleb and his work, you know, A Black Swan, Fame Fooled by Randomness, Fragility, I believe is one of his latest big bestsellers, a bevy of his interviews on YouTube, reading his work, understanding that he watched most of his colleagues implode at Goldman Sachs and his tenure there. If I could encapsulate his wisdom, or some of the wisdom theme that runs through his books, is that we are hardwired to essentially ignore the risks. We don't view risk in a truly reasonable fashion. We tend to see it as linear. But risks are really more parabolic and hyperbolic in nature. And in other words, they shoot up exponentially and then drop off hyperbolically. We have a tendency to underestimate our likelihood of making a mistake. And eventually, because of underestimation and overconfidence, or, you know, personal hubris, the overwhelming majority of accounts implode. I mean, you really want to study these folks. If you're going to trade, you trade with a tiny amount of money. You take enormous bets against sectors with very, very, he likes out of the money puts and calls. So a sector that's just gone bananas, like maybe the VIX or VVIX indexes, and they shoot up to some record like 50 or 60 on the VIX, he would say, well, I'm going to go with a bunch of out-of-the-money puts. And then, of course, as it returns to the mean, as volatility always does, he will reap a handsome benefit. course, sometimes he makes 100 or 1,000 fold, as has Arch Crawford. Now, Arch Crawford's strategy is a little different. He'll take $1,000 a month when the markets are ripping to the upside and just short each month, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. And eventually, one time, he cleared somewhere around $250,000 on a $5,000 or $10,000 investment doing that. So the point is if you can take a modicum of your income or of your total wealth, tiny amounts, and the rest is just put away and managed. Okay, and by the way, congratulations on your successful endeavor in the precious metals market. You're obviously starting it at the beginning of one of the best rallies in decades.
Chris, I talk too much. But anyhow, I just wanted to call you because I'm actually on your YouTube channel and I was searching for Martin Armstrong because I love him. And just saw that the latest thing that he had offered was on your channel, New Year's Eve. Normally, I don't subscribe because I don't like, you know, a whole bunch of inundation on my channel because I try to focus. I heard your message on the New Year's resolution, and I don't know if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, but I'm a baby stacker, been since the 08 Ron Paul revolution, and I'm so thrilled to hear of a brother in arms. You made my morning. I have shared your video. I subscribed instantly. Ignore the haters. The only way we can financially really move forward is if we can get rid of spending a lake's worth of dang money feeding a cow when we have these alternatives. I am so excited. I'm so happy to hear that I'm not alone. I hope this gets to you well. It's foreboding what's coming up. We have the revolution at hand. Just lead by example. Keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate you sticking your neck out. Oh, you made my morning. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Next up, a very enthusiastic caller likes Martin Armstrong and appreciates our work here at Gold Seek Radio. Well, caller, thanks for the kind words, and I really like your energy level and enthusiasm. I even would be so humble as to suggest starting your own podcast on blogger.com. With that level of energy, it sounds to me like other folks might appreciate your thoughts as well. Moving on, longtime listener and regular caller, George.
Hello, Chris. This is George. I want to ask a question. I think if 7 years of 0% interest rate policy, Q1, QE2, Operation Twist, then QE3, which the pundits originally said were emergency temporary measures, not debt monetization, failed to produce an economic expansion, and only created malinvestments and bubbles. Why would further extreme adjustments in monetary policy producing negative interest rates and outright monetization of ETFs and other instruments help growth and capital investment? This is being tested in Europe and Japan, so we will see. I just do not understand why these pseudo-Keynesians think the extension of failed monetary policies and central bank intervention that is unprecedented in history will work. Thank you very much.
Hi, George. You know, ditto those sentiments. Unfortunately for us, I think most Keynesian and monetarist policies are akin to King Canute. You'll recall the fabled royalty who was so full of hubris, he was convinced he could command the tides. Which, this is actually historically incorrect. It's now become a cliche for overconfidence. And in similar fashion, I think our economic policies are attempting to command the economic tides using some faulty methods. In principle, these monetary methods could have worked if and only if they were merely emergency methods, as you mentioned, and as they were first proposed. You simply cannot keep the life support running forever without some serious long-term implications and complications. And I think, unfortunately, that's where our global system appears to be at this point. Simply put, the schoolteacher, I think, has fed the students sugary treats before the game of musical chairs, which kept the festivities going much longer than typical, but eventually everyone tires out and requires a rest. And that rest might be 2 or 3 hours, which might be what she was looking for. For my conspiracy theorists, you can draw your own conclusions from that last sentence. Could this collapse be contrived, and is that the goal of the powers that be? That's up to you to decide. When that day of reckoning comes, though, I think we have several recent examples to draw parallels, such as Venezuela, where the price of a loaf of bread is nearly 10 times higher than it was a year or two ago. Can't imagine trying to feed my family as, you know, the unemployment soars 30, 40, 50% and prices soar 5-10-fold. You know, this is stagflation on steroids. It's just a worst of worlds scenario. We haven't seen anything quite like that in this land since our Civil War. Could it come here? Well, the answer to that is anything is possible. So again, caller, thanks. Great question and comments.
John from sunny San Diego. Just a little commentary on Armstrong's comment about the stock market, how it's not in a bubble because there's no retail participation. Well, did Mr. Armstrong ever consider that maybe the baby boomer generation, after having been burned twice by the stock market, most of them have migrated to the bond market, in particular bond mutual funds, hence the huge bubble in the bond market, of course precipitated by the Federal Reserve and other central banks, and that this time it really is different. Price earnings ratios are off the charts. Most of the trades are being conducted by both traders, and those algos will turn a dime once they're unable to stop the inevitable collapse of stock prices. Instead of buying the dips, they'll be selling the rip. So anyway, Armstrong's an interesting character, but I don't think he's got this one quite right. He claims to have an infallible computer programs that predict every single thing in the world, including when you're going to pass gas. I ain't buying it, okay? Like I said, Armstrong's an interesting character, especially his comments that hyperinflation doesn't exist. Well, how does he explain Argentina, Zimbabwe, Weimar Germany? Oh, I know he tried to explain Weimar Germany in that interview, but I think he's missing the forest for the trees. It'll be interesting to see how this all turns out. Keep up the good work.
Last but not least, John from San Diego. He says that baby boomers' retirements were crushed twice by the stock bubbles and busts of 2000-2008, so they turned to the bond market, which could be an enormous bubble as well. John, you know, just think where those trillions of dollars will eventually flow from the bond and stock bubbles, for that matter, when we hear that popping sound. We'd like to field your questions and comments. You can just send a message if you like to gsr@hughes.net. You can call into our hotline. That's 1-206-6665-370. We'd like for you to jot it down on a Post-it pad or plug it right into your phone. 1-206-6665-370. More Gold Seek after this. The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.